Can listen, I know we just met. Can I be honest with you? I just want to level with somebody, okay?
Sure.
I am in a tailspin. And I'm lonely. I'm depressed. And I'm borderline desperate. But I don't know. I know myself. I know that I'm a really fun person. I'm not a lonely person or a depressed person. I don't know. I just feel like if I could find the right person to be with me, I have so much to give. You know, I have all these gifts. I'm like, I'm a blast. You know?
I'm sorry. I have to make a phone call.
Okay. That's...
Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
I'm back.
Damien. So Damien, good. Shut up. Right. No more from you. This is Douglas.
The more important one, right?
Yes. That is absolutely correct.
But I mean, it's not like... But for Damien, we actually have a parade in the background thanks to him being back. People actually went down into Bull Bay. They extracted him from the horrible hurricane that was what was in Bull Bay last week. What did they call it last week, Damien? What was the name?
I think we call it. It was rainfall.
It was
rainfall.
No, essentially it was hurricane. Thank Christ, I don't have to go to work. That's the name of the hurricane that hit. Bull Bay in particular. I don't think it hit anywhere else in Jamaica, but it hit Bull Bay.
I still had to go to work.
Wait, so hold on. What you're saying is that you were able to get to work, but you were not able to get to the podcast.
Precisely.
Where are your priorities?
My sister would have driven me to work. She was not going to drive me to the podcast. Mainly because she was having dinner.
And that's Hello? What dead silence sounds like.
I wasn't expecting that end right there. It felt like there was more coming.
You can't have dead air on the podcast. It's
a podcast. That's unprofessional. And I mean, we are
we're nothing if
the shining example of professional. So anyways, since we no longer care about the helicopter that lifted Damien out of Bull Bay, what have you guys been watching? Damien, I'm going to start with you. And only on the only if you talk about the movie which you didn't review last week.
Sure. I saw your Ang Lee film. I thought, what did Andrew say the name of the movie was? Eat, Pray, Man, Woman, Child, Food, something. Alright. So last week you guys reviewed this film and you guys were not so warm on the film. For good reason. The film is pretty bad. And Andrew especially tried to gleam some goodness out of the film. He talked about the opening shot and the guy walking through the restaurant and whatnot. And it was fun listening to you guys review the movie and then going back and looking at the scenes that you guys are talking about, and Andrew is wrong. All those scenes are bad.
Yeah, they are.
The end of the movie is stupid because it completely negates pretty much everything that the first 2 hours was trying to do. The movie is predicated on the fact that this man has lost his taste buds or some such nonsense, which Douglas berated last week because it was, of course, unbelievably dumb, and something happens at the end of the movie. I'm sure no one will be able to guess what this thing that happens to this man's taste buds at the end of the movie, but it's really dumb, and
They swell up and explode.
Yeah, they attack him with knives. The movie offers no real resolution to the situations that it developed. You don't really feel connected to any of these people. You understand that this guy has lost touch with his daughters, and you kind of see why, but the movie doesn't really, despite being 2 hours long, give you any real sense that they're either going to fix it or it's going to get worse by the end of the movie. The movie just kind of ends on this stupid kind of sort of twist, and it's really bad. Like, really bad. I rewatched another Ang Lee movie because we were talking about it so much. Crouching Tiger. Now, I won't watch Brokeback Mountain because I've already decided on that movie. I saw it recently enough to know that while it's a good movie, I still don't like it. I still find it boring. I still think, had the story been about a man and a woman, the show would have been over in, let's say, 40 minutes. But because it's a man and a man, he found some reason to draw it out for another 2 hours. He seems to be in love with that time frame. But that's only reserved for blockbuster movies that come out in summer. See Dark Knight, see Avengers. Ang Lee, not at all worthy of 2 hours. I sat down and watched Crouching Tiger. I said he had 2.5 good movies. I still stand by that. Now, I and everybody else loves Crouching Tiger. The fighting, the choreography, all of that is good. The story is probably the worst story that has been told. And that is saying something because Kung Fu movies have horrendous stories. That is part of the reason that gives it its charm. But this one is particularly stupid, especially the end of this movie. It's so dumb. So dumb. But fine, Ang Lee has 2 good movies. I started watching The Ice Storm. Haven't completed it yet. It's up to this point, which is about 45 minutes in. Not as good as Andrew promised, but it's nowhere as bad as the trash that he had us watch. So, that one I'm looking forward to finishing, but I can't give my say. But fine, Ang Lee's batting 3 for 7. And if...
oh, wait.
And if this new movie, The Life of Pi, if the trailer is anything to go by, then I love that. So he'll have a 50%, which is good enough. There's directors who have far worse records that I still watch their movies. In Ridley Scott's record now is pretty much in the toilet. And I'll watch anything from him. When we went to watch Prometheus, we looked through all the movies.
Did
that
we? And it wasn't that good?
Yeah.
Because I was about to say, I know that Prometheus, well, is for you, it's a bad movie. For me, I liked it.
No, it still had
the problems.
I just didn't like the ending. The first wave of Ridley Scott movies were great.
Yeah.
And then the second wave, can pretend some of those movies never happened. But
his brother probably like influenced him, was like, hey, why don't you do this?
Why don't you do shitty, shitty movies? The reason I hate Ang Lee is because he ruined the Hulk. Like, after watching that Hulk movie, I was not interested in seeing another Hulk anything. That movie was so bad. He destroyed such an iconic character with such an awful, awful movie. And Andrew enjoys Lost Caution. I'm pretty sure he's the only person anywhere on earth.
All right, hold on. Damien, yes. Because you bring it up, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
The Hulk. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily talking about Ang Lee's Hulk, but the Hulk as a character in general. Right. What do you want from a Hulk film?
The last 2 Hulk movies gave me what I wanted from a Hulk film. The Incredible Hulk was great. And Avengers was also great.
Oh, okay.
No, Avengers was a Hulk film. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, it was. But
puny God. Oh, it's so good. Oh, so good.
I only ask this because I remember reading an article on Badass Digest a while back, written by Film Crit Hulk. about the Hulk character and why he hates pretty much all Hulk-related film characters. He apparently is very attached to the old Lou Ferrigno television series. Give me a moment. Give it a moment, all right, Damien?
You just
said
Lou Ferrigno.
Pause, Damien. I want to bring up this idea because the idea he brought up was something which I find particularly interesting, and it might be a case of me wanting a Terrence Malick film as opposed to a Michael Bay film. But his idea was that
a Terrence Malick film.
Terrence Malick Hulk. Can you imagine how bad that would be? My God. He's trying to dig deeper into what makes the Hulk the Hulk. We'd have 2 hours of absolute nothing, and then 5 minutes of the Hulk smashing anything and be bored to tears.
All right, let me at least finish a thought. Sure. What Film Crit Hulk brought up was the idea that the problem with most Hulk films was that the audience goes in and the film attempts its best to deliver an action movie, when in truth, how he views it, the Hulk character is one of complete and utter tragedy, in the fact that we should always, at every point in that film that Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk, feel empathy for Bruce Banner at that point, because the Hulk is what he doesn't want. The Avengers totally changed that and brought in a whole different kind of Hulk, which I like even more than the Incredible Hulk. But I actually like that idea so much that I would love to see that kind of a movie of the Hulk. I know I've been hearing things on the internet that Marvel is sort of planning a S.H.I.E.L.D. and maybe a Hulk television series. Do you guys think that would be an interesting way to look at the Hulk as he is?
No. I was going to be blunt. The Hulk is fun because the Hulk is the manifestation of someone's anger. Everyone wants to lash out, and that is what the Hulk is. He's essentially pure anger being directed at something.
You're right though, Damien. I think that's what it is, but the truth of the matter is that the fact that he's fun is not really... I think you and I see that as fun in terms of like the popcorn sense of oh, look at this guy smashing something. That looks fun. But I kind of agree with Andrew in the sense that I think a movie or a TV show or some representation of the Hulk as a tragedy would, if done correctly, if done well, would be really a really interesting way to go and would work. Very well.
Remember what happened the last time someone took an iconic character that is known for being strong and super masculine and tried to get audiences in touch with his feelings? We got that Superman movie that 90% of people do not like.
But I'm pretty sure that 100% of us love that movie.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter.
But I am looking forward to the next Superman movie far more. I want to see... Look, when I want a touching story about people's struggle against whatever they're struggling against, I do not want superheroes involved. When superheroes are involved, I want action. And a lot of action. If the Batman movies had none of the great Batman scenes, it would be an okay movie. The Batman movies are great because when Batman shows up, everybody is on board. You're excited, you're in the moment, and it delivers on action. That is what everyone wants. I don't want to see superheroes get in touch and find their inner self. There's no... Why? Why? There's tons of movies for that.
But you see, they don't have to get in touch with themselves for the Hulk. I mean, for the Hulk to be a tragedy. The truth of the matter is, I could see Hulk as not being a superhero. He really isn't, in a sense, because all he is a guy who, you know, dosed himself a little bit too much, and now whenever he gets angry, it's all, he can't get angry unless he becomes this blunt weapon. And so it, you know, the movie doesn't, or not the movie, but the Hulk really isn't a superhero with a purpose as such. The Hulk is just a guy who will probably do good things when he becomes a Hulk, because as a person, he is let's assume that he's a decent person, and so when he gets angry, it's at something that would normally anger regular people. So he would right those wrongs, but only because he got angry, and not because he really wanted to help anybody, but because it's just this tragic cycle.
If the story that they wanted to tell was, the Hulk gets angry, right? And Banner gets angry, turns into the Hulk, right? And then bad things happen. And then when he comes down from being the Hulk, he has to then deal with the bad things that happen. Like him hurting innocent people, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And that drives him deeper and deeper into depression, which then in turn triggers the Hulk more easily. That is fine. As long as there is the Hulk smashing shit, I do not want... Let me be clear. You can tell the story that you want to tell. Tell it about his depression. Like Hancock. You have the first part, the good part of Hancock, yeah. where he turns to drinking and becomes a recluse, and everybody kind of knows and sees him, but everyone gives him his space, because you know that once the Hulk comes out, it's non-stop problems, right? These things get triggered, the military gets called in, they force him far away from people, he calms down, then he has to try and reintegrate with society to try and rectify some of the things that the Hulk does, try and make people see his side of the story, but no one understands because they see him as this demon and whatever, and it drives him worse and worse. All of that is fine, right? There's comic books like that. Go down that road, have the Avengers come and attack him, not an issue. As long as there is action, as long as the Hulk is being the Hulk, I don't want emo Hulk. I do not want it. I want
all right, I just kind of wanted to bring that up because throughout the internet, and we've had our issues with Hulk films. We both, Damien and I both love The Incredible Hulk,
yes.
the Edward Norton movie. I think Douglas is very mixed on that.
Well, no. You see, the thing is, he's
still fighting the Iron Man is better fight.
No. That's not a fight to be fought because
yeah, you're wrong.
Because it's right. But what I'd say is that I do enjoy the Hulk movie. I don't want anybody to think that I don't. I do. What I believe, no, scratch that. What I know is that Hulk is not as good as Iron Man. That's all
yeah,
I'm saying.
His Hulk is not as good.
No, Louis Leterrier's Hulk.
You're
is
incorrect.
Not as good as
I'm
Iron
very sorry.
Man. All right, I just kind of wanted to bring that up as a tangent because I really like that article. And anyone who wants, I'll put a link in the show notes. You guys should go and read that article. But Damien, is there anything else you've been watching?
Right. Just two things. I didn't really want to get off into the whole Ang Lee thing, but whatever. I saw Dirty Pretty Things for the first time. This is a BBC film.
It's BBC?
BBC Films, yes. And Miramax, I think.
Yeah, I think it's Miramax.
And our boy Chewy. And, oh my God, I'm forgetting the girl's name. Shit.
Is it Audrey Tautou?
Yes, Audrey Tautou is in there. And the movie surrounds these immigrants who are working at a hotel. Chewy is both a cab driver and the concierge at the hotel. Something happens and he finds a heart stuck in a toilet. And so he tries to investigate. And it leads to a lot of problems. It turns out some shady things are going on in the hotel, and he becomes embroiled in it. Now, the things that I'm about to say are real obvious. Tattoo is amazing. Chewie is amazing. And the story that is told is really good. The only issue that I'd have recommending this movie is that this movie is dark. And the further you go, the darker the movie gets. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It flickers for a second and then the movie's over.
Yeah.
So let me be clear. If you want something to, you know, take you on a ride to bring you down and then lift you up, this is not that movie. It will take you on the ride and then it will let you off. That is it. But it is fantastic. Across the board, all the actors do a terrific job. In the movie, this isn't much of a spoiler. The head of the hotel says to Chewie's character that, you know, don't pay attention to things that you see happening in the hotel. We take dirty things and we make them pretty again. That is our job. We make dirty things pretty. So don't focus on anything nefarious. You see, just do your job, stay out of the way, and whatever. And he tries to do that, but of course, it doesn't go his way. Douglas has seen this movie. He said that he really enjoyed it, but when was the last time you saw this movie?
I saw it. I actually have seen it on TV. Not recently, maybe a couple of years ago, and I think I watched like maybe 10-15 minutes of it. But last time I watched the whole of it was actually I had just come home from university, so this would have been about 2005. Yeah, I remember seeing a poster for it at school. And thinking, oh, that's a great name and a good poster. And then as soon as I came down, I was like, you know what? I still haven't watched that movie.
You know,
why haven't I done that?
Suck. How come I don't see any posters of awesome movies around any of my schools?
I know. That's why
I blame Andrew for this. It is his fault. He had the power
authority
to hang up posters around Yui. He could have started a movie club. All of these things. And he chose not to. He chose to be selfish and start this. Oh, wait. He started the podcast. All right, never mind.
No, and that movie, I remember watching it and thinking it was fantastic. And this is probably one of my early encounters with Chewie. I know I had seen him in some other things before, but this was, you know, one of those very many things that have forever cemented his kind of, you know, my at least, view of him as, oh, you know, top notch.
Between this and Red Belt.
Oh, Red Belt was fantastic. Oh, but that was much later, though.
Yes, that was not too far out. 3-4 years ago,
yeah,
2008, I think. Yeah, but Dirty Pretty Things, if you get a chance, please don't hesitate to watch it. But go in happy, because if you go in sad, it's going to ruin your day.
Well, you see, the thing is, Damien, you make this sound very well, you have said it's very dark, but I have a question for you. Let's say if we were talking about scales, right? And at one end, on the happy end, you'd have, say, My Little Pony.
Right.
And on the other end, you'd have, say, Requiem for a Dream. Where on that scale would this lie?
All right. If, say, let's say...
My Little Pony.
Let's say it's My Little Pony's Dark Knight at 5. Right? Something that is... No, Avengers at 5. Something that is essentially fluff.
Uh-huh.
Right? Fun fluff. But they're still... You know, it's not all the way happy, but it's not all the way dark. It's just in the middle. So, and then at the extreme end is Requiem. It is really close to Requiem without going as far. So it'd be, if Requiem is 0, it is 2.5. So it is in between Avengers and Requiem, going down the road to Requiem. It is not a happy movie. Bad things happen. Dark things happen.
So it's the road, is what you're saying?
It's the road. Just a little bit. Not so bleak.
Yeah.
For the entire time. Because the movie starts out quite unassuming.
There's quite a lot of hope in the first part of this movie.
Right, and then no hope. And then the movie gives you a glimmer and then ends. The next thing I'll talk about is a new fall show on NBC. Oh, wow. Now, the only reason I know about this show is because two of my favorite comedians are writing on this show.
Is this the Mindy... Oh, no, that's Fox. Is this Animal Practice?
No.
No, okay.
It's called The New Normal.
Oh, I've heard that name.
Right.
But I haven't really paid attention
about,
to it.
It's about... they released the first episode early so that people could get a taste of
it. Yeah, actually, I think all the networks are doing that now.
No. This TV show will not save NBC. In fact, I doubt that it will get enough viewership to stay on the air for any prolonged time. It is like Community in that the target demographic for this is extremely tiny. It is essentially only people who love Amzos. That is their demographic, which is not a real big demographic in America. It surrounds these two gay married guys who want to have a baby. But sadly, scientists haven't developed the technology yet to let gay people have babies.
Not well, yet. Well, to Arnold gay
Schwarzenegger did
babies.
It once, but he only was able to do it once. So they hire a surrogate mother, and this surrogate mother has essentially the worst life in history. She has a daughter who is cute.
Wait, there's the surrogate mother is a big like somebody I'd know, isn't it?
No.
So there's nobody I'd know in this
there's
show? I'm pretty sure
know.
There are.
The
I've
guy
seen...
and the grandmother you'd know. But I'm blanking on names, of course. So there's a grandmother, there's the surrogate mother, her daughter, and then these two gay guys. And of course, a black woman out of nowhere. The show, from the one episode that they put out, this show will be funny. And it makes sense because Moser Kashner is one of the writers. And a lot of people don't know him. That's not your fault. He's put out, I think, one album. But he's unbelievably funny. He has a podcast with one of the guys who did the Chappelle show, Neil Brennan, called Fucking with the Champs. If you get a chance to listen to that, you'll understand why this show is as funny as it is. They look at a scenario and write something absolutely ridiculous and finds a way to make it work. The show is great. I enjoyed it a lot. It's so funny. And I look forward to seeing it. But this is clearly another Community type show.
Ah, yes. Justin Bartha is in this show.
Yes,
that's who I know.
That you'd notice. Everybody else.
He's the sidekick from all the Nick Cage movies.
Yes.
What's the name of that thing? The National
Treasure.
Yeah.
Right.
I like those movies.
You're stupid and wrong.
I like those movies too. I agree. But he's also in another series
Douglas,
that is pretty good. And
Douglas, I'm going to stop you right here.
Hangover.
So let me get this straight.
He's barely in those movies.
Nick Cage is good in National Treasure, which you like.
No, I did not say Nick Cage was good in it.
Okay.
I said I like those movies.
So you like National Treasure, but dislike Con Air.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing back Con Air. Have you seen Expendables 2 yet?
No.
I don't think. Has it come out here yet?
I don't. It is out. It's been out for
a while.
No,
but here.
Yes, for a while.
Oh, wow.
For like 2 weeks.
Yeah, Andrew, honestly, I mean, I will probably watch that movie. I have seen the first one and
yeah,
I do enjoy it, but I'm probably not going to watch it at the movies.
On
here.
A rainy, rainy day when I'm so bored and refuse to watch both the FP and Man from Nowhere again. And I've deleted The Matrix and Lord of the Rings and every other good movie.
Is
I
Man
own.
From Nowhere the Coen Brothers movie?
No,
which
Man
one's
from
Man from
the
Nowhere?
Korean
the
movie.
Korean, okay, yes, right, okay.
The wallet guy.
Yeah, the wallet, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Shit, my brain went crazy. I thought of The Man Who Fell to Earth.
I like that movie, but that's not a multiple rewatch type of movie.
You like Man Who Fell to Earth?
It was okay.
With David Bowie?
Mm-hmm. No, no.
Yeah, exactly.
No. No, that's the wrong movie. Why do I keep
missing? What were you thinking of?
I know. There's a man from Earth. I think that's the name of the movie, about a guy who is essentially Jesus. He has been alive throughout all ages. He's found some way to regenerate his cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking to a bunch of colleagues in a room. And they work at a university. And they essentially decipher the fact that he hasn't aged for the 15 years that they've seen him. And now he's leaving. And they kept asking him questions and pushing and prying around all this stuff. And then he kind of finally goes, look, guys, I know you don't want to believe this. And I'm going to move on anyway, so you don't have to. But I've been alive for like 5,000 years. And they go along from there. It's a pretty good movie. That is the movie I keep thinking about. The David Bowie movie is horseshit.
Yeah, the movie that had me physically trying to reject it.
Yes, that movie is god-awful. But yeah, so...
Criterion. I'm telling you, there is...
somebody at Criterion fucking with everybody.
That's exactly what it is. And one day, because they picked just enough good movies right to get by, the one day... we're going to call them on it and they're going to be like, shit, you finally found out.
No, we can't defend this one. Right, so it's Dirty Pretty Things and The New Normal starts sometime this week. I'll watch Breaking Bad now that it's gone on break. Hey guys, turns out Breaking Bad is still awesome. Douglas,
what have you seen?
Okay, well, I have an adequately short list to contrast Damien's inadequately long list. The one thing that I've watched
really
this week.
I only talked about the movie last week and two shows.
I know, but you talked for long though.
Fair enough.
I did bring up the whole Hulk argument.
This is true. But I've actually only watched one thing this week, other than a movie that we're going to talk about, and that was another French movie. So yes, I've kind of gotten back into the France.
When you
the
say
French
back,
region.
When you say back, it means that you left at a certain point. When did you leave?
I will say this in Douglas's defense. 3 weeks ago, he did go to Italy instead of France.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
All right. But so I watched a film by the name of The Women on the Sixth Floor. This movie was... I actually enjoyed it. It's about... a guy, well, not really about a family, but this guy has a family. He's French, and he is, I don't know if he's probably wealthy, well off. He's a stockbroker, and he owns his own firm. So, yeah, I think he's well off.
You're a stockbroker.
No, I'm not. But he owns this building, and this building has been in his family for generations. And in the beginning of the movie, he talks about how close his family is to that building and his kind of town or wherever it is he lives in France. He tells a story about his father having to go to, I can't remember which foreign country it is, but let's say it was England. Or no, England is too close. Let's say it was the States, right? And he spoke about how his father went to the States on a boat. Well, you know, back in the day, there weren't any planes. And how his father got seasick the whole way there. And then he came back and got seasick the whole way back. And he never left his village again or his town again. I don't know why I say his village. I'm sure it's like Paris or something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, Paris. The village.
Yeah,
Paris.
The village Paris.
It's the village in Paris.
Ah, there you go. But so him and all of his family have kind of been stuck in that one place. And when I say stuck, it's not, they want to be there. So that is their life. And, you know, this is one of those movies where somebody inserts a little bit of spice and things may or may not go awry, but, you know, it kind of broadens the main character's view of things, and all of a sudden now, you know, somebody who wouldn't go anywhere and, you know, stayed in his house wants to go on safaris in Africa, that kind of thing. So that's what this movie really is. This guy lives in his house and because he's well off, he has maids, or at least one maid, and she lives like above him on the sixth floor. And that's where the title kind of comes from, because not only does his maid live there, but like maids for
everybody
in his building and in his neighborhood live on that sixth floor. And so they are the women on the sixth floor. And he kind of gets very involved in their lives. A lot of them are from Spain. And so, you know, he actually kind of falls in love with his maid. And a lot of, yeah, I know, but it's very innocent.
Yeah, it's very French.
It's very French. Mm-hmm. And so this movie is all about him kind of becoming this kind, you know, changing from kind of, it's not that he was unkind, he was just indifferent before, and changing from that sort of indifferent and complacent person to
someone he's made.
No. Someone who looks out for other people.
Oh, okay.
Someone who is kind to them, who you know, has wider views now and is willing to give up his business to go to Spain to search for this woman and this woman being the maid. And fall in love with her. And it's, you know, a pretty good movie.
So
I really enjoyed it.
To bang the maid.
Yeah.
So it's Pretty Woman except with a maid.
And it's in France.
Fair enough.
It's and French in France. Pretty Woman.
Yeah, that's what I just said, Andrew. Thanks.
That goes to Spain.
Ah, there you go. You got me. But yeah, no, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. And I would definitely recommend it to both of you guys. Actually, no, I wouldn't.
Well done movies are well done movies. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Long before I watch Expendables 2.
So Andrew, I think that makes it your turn.
Con Air and Expendables 2 double feature. It will be amazing. Anyways, on to what I watch this week, because they're never going to watch Expendables 2. I didn't really see anything of interest, but anyways, I saw Snow White and the Huntsman. Finally,
that's bad.
Chris Hemsworth.
No. What? So we have a Snow White with Kristen Stewart being hunted by the Huntsman, Thor, who's ruled by an evil queen, Charlize Theron. And I continued, and I find it kind of interesting that her last few films, young adult, Prometheus, and this movie, all kind of play with the notion, Prometheus not so much, but the other two, yes, of crazy beauty, in that they have these characters who depend so much on their looks, but have such a crazed personality to them. It's kind of weird, but That's me pouring too much into this movie. Snow White and the Huntsman is a bad movie. It has a lot of pretty moments. There's a lot of the CG is very good. There are also some very bad CG moments, but the good ones kind of trump it for me, because there are moments which it was obvious that they shifted the budget to make sure that those scenes looked fantastic. There's one when they're going through the woods and they come upon a troll. And it's like as if someone who is a massive fan of Shadow of the Colossus decided to design a troll, because it is the most crazy looking massive thing you'll see in a film that isn't Wrath of the Titans. And I keep mentioning bad movies while I'm talking
about
this.
Have you seen that movie, Bad? Don't ever.
No, I have not watched that movie.
Do not watch that movie.
The movie, it has its moments, but it's not good at all, and that kind of doesn't bode well for fairy tale movies this year, since Mirror Mirror didn't catch me at all this year.
It didn't? You didn't like it? I started watching
Mirror
it.
Mirror.
I started watching it, but I haven't finished. But I still want to give it a chance because I'm such a Tarsem Singh fan.
I fell into his trap again.
Yeah.
And looking at the pretty things and ignoring pretty much everything everybody said. The movie is beautiful.
Which one? Mirror Mirror?
Yeah.
Wow. It did it not look beautiful from the trailer.
he knows how to make things pretty.
He does.
It is you know how Alice in Wonderland was supposed to be mm-hmm. colorful and pretty mm-hmm. but failed miserably. Mm-hmm. This one did not fail. It is bright and colorful. It feels like like one of those books. It's like in motion what one of those books would look like a Disney movie come to life, all bright primary type colors. I mean, the story was okay, I guess, but watching that movie it was fun to watch.
You know what I realized? I think that what we need to wait for, or probably petition for, because if we wait, it's not going to happen, is for Tarsem Singh to write and direct another movie, because clearly if he depends on somebody else to write it, it's not going to be good. Hey, I mean, we've gotten from him that he did not write The Cell, Immortals, and I don't want to put this in the bad books yet, but it seems that you guys are Mirror Mirror. So, I mean,
Immortals and Mirror Mirror are like the same. They're not great, mm-hmm. but they're not bad. It's not, there's nothing spectacular about those movies, yeah. but they're watchable. Let's say, if the movie channel had these on, you'd go, that was not a complete waste of my time. It was pretty good.
I think back to watching The Immortals. I still haven't watched it again since I saw it in theaters last year. And I remember certain things like that speech that Henry Cavill gives near the end
yeah.
when they're all going to be in that battle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that movie was bad. I shouldn't have liked that movie. But it was pretty and the fights were awesome.
Yes.
They're kind of awesome.
If you ignore the talking bits, pretty good. It's pretty good.
And I did like Mickey Rourke in that movie. But anyways, I'm not talking about Tarsem Singh or The Immortals. Mm-hmm. I was talking about shitty Snow White and Kristen Stewart.
Is she good in the movie at least?
She is best when she's not talking.
Wow, that is probably the most sexist thing you've ever said on this podcast.
I think Andrew, that is equivalent to somebody saying that, you know, I'd sleep with her, I'd just put a bag over her head. You know, like,
you know, she looks better in the dark.
Look, just like a moment ago when I talked about in Immortals, there's a scene where they give a speech. There is that scene in this movie with Kristen Stewart, and that is the point where you realize that Kristen Stewart, it is Kristen Stewart in this movie. We've spoken about Kristen Stewart before.
I thought you loved Kristen Stewart, especially in Adventureland. I thought she was the greatest thing ever.
Was it spoken?
I don't remember ever saying that. I said I like Adventureland, despite her.
That movie is so
bad. I tried to like her. The Twilight thing didn't help her cause at all.
But what?
No, I kind of shove away Twilight because that's obviously like, oh, she's doing that franchise. I haven't seen any of the movies. And the writing is bad.
But the thing about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just about to ask Damien because mm-hmm. Damien claims that he tried to like Kristen Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But how could you try to like her? Like, I don't understand. Wait. Because let me reason this out here. The main reason that we all know her, I mean, she was in other things before that. She was in things like Panic Room, but that was a long time ago. What movies did you see before
Twilight
that would make you think that she would be anything good? I saw her
Into the Wild.
Right. There was that...
Into the Wild, she was in there for 5 minutes and she fine. Just...
Oh, but there's some
but I did remember her and I did like her in those 5 minutes.
There's some other smaller movies that... she was in. I have them in XBMC somewhere. before she was announced as being in Twilight,
mm-hmm.
I'd seen her in a couple movies. And I went, Yeah, and then when we saw Adventureland, I went, yeah, she's in that, and I like that show, so I guess, you know, she can act.
And then but the Runaways came. She seems
to be, right, between Twilight, the Runaways, and pretty much everything else after that, everybody has taken a complete U-turn. Everyone's like, this girl can't act.
No, I must say that I didn't take any U-turn. I was always I was always on this path.
Yes, sir. Everybody has joined Douglas. But I haven't seen any other Treachery, that is the Twilight movies.
I think but I saw I the did first see two, the but I haven't seen anything after that.
That she was not good in the movie.
I haven't watched that one yet. I don't think I will.
I don't know. But
Michael Shannon is in it, and he's good.
Well, he's always good in anything he's in. He was in Groundhog's Day, and he was good. Come on.
You know Machine what he was Gun in? Pre-show. He was in Machine Gun Pre-Show.
He was good in that, though.
No.
That movie was horrid.
Douglas,
you know what was he, good in that. You know what he was in, Douglas? He was in Premium Rush.
I haven't watched that movie, but you did not paint a pretty picture.
Anyways, the other movie I watched this week, I got around to watching Safe, which was the action nonsense starring Jason Statham from earlier this year. And that's exactly what it is, action nonsense. It's the perfect amount of nonsense to action that we all want in our action nonsense movies. Jason Statham is a amazing fighter who goes against the wrong people and they kill his family. And they tell him that we will be watching you for the rest of your life. We're not going to kill you. We want you to live a loner's life. And anyone we see you talk to for more than 2 seconds, we're going to kill him. And they pay good on this until one day, randomly, he runs into this little Chinese girl who was exported from China because she's a genius mathematician and can be able to memorize numbers on the fly. She's running away from the Chinese triad or mafia or whatever they want to call themselves.
Andrew,
We
don't export people.
They do. The Chinese.
No, she was not exported from China.
She was kidnapped. I believe that is the accepted nomenclature.
I'm pretty sure you don't want to go around. Like, I have to cut you off. I do not want you to go to say to anybody else that someone was exported from another country. Let this be the last time you say that.
That's can I say it one more time just for fun?
See,
can I say it
sure.
one more time just for fun?
Sure.
She was exported from China.
Right? You'd have been really good 100 years ago in Britain. You'd have done a fantastic job exporting people from one country to another. You're a terrible person.
Oh, yeah. He runs into this little girl and He decides that that's the moment where he's going to turn back on the switch to say, fuck these guys, and he's going to start fighting everybody. He goes against the Russians, the Chinese, and the police, and it is action nonsense awesomeness. I wouldn't rate it as high as films as Con Air, which I love very, very much.
Is it better than Transporter?
Doesn't have that much action, but it's on that level of action nonsense.
Does he flip a car at any point?
No, he doesn't.
God damn it.
he doesn't drive that much.
He flips his car so that
scrapes the bottom. It's fucking awesome.
I still have never gotten over that, by the way. I still hate Transporter 2 just
for
that
love
scene.
It.
Why, Andrew? Why? It's perfect.
Oh, okay. Andrew, you're so bad at movies.
But on the other hand, I revere films like Torque for having a bike fight scene. So,
have you ever seen another bike fight scene? No, you have not.
And that's why I revere films like Torque.
A pioneer.
Otherwise, the only other film I think I should mention is I rewatched High Fidelity because I got it on Blu-ray and it looks very, very pretty and it's just as awesome as it was before. I still say better than Gross Point Blank.
Because you're crazy.
And there's nothing you can say to change that.
Sadly, he's right.
right about the being better, or you can't change that?
No, we can't change your mind. You are incorrect.
And that's what I've been watching this week. Why am I going to Damien? My brain has gone crazy. Right. Damien already went.
One last thing. A couple of weeks. A couple of weeks, we saw a trailer for Goats, the David Duchovny movie about raising goats, and Vera Farmiga was in it. No one remembers this trailer.
I remember it.
Right, don't watch that movie.
The trailer told me to not watch that movie, so I didn't.
It is mediocre at best. Douglas has no idea what's going
on. I vaguely remember Vera Farmiga. Some were happy, some were sad. Some felt bad from being good. Some felt good from being bad. The feelings passed and changed, but they never leave. They here to stay. Holiday, holiday, happy birthday. Teenage love, the first cut run deep. So long flesh, this is the Brooklyn streets. Year of the Ox, 7-3, MD. The history. Come on. Every soul got one day. Yes, it's where you've been.
So the first trailer we want to talk about this week is a Korean film, which is where all the best films come from, by the name of Bedeviled. Douglas, you're the only one who didn't hear about this movie before, so what did you think of the trailer?
This trailer is a lot of things. Actually, the trailer tells us about what it is a lot. But this trailer, despite what this woman is, which it doesn't hesitate to tell us, is a bad trailer. This is a horrendous trailer.
Bedazzled.
It's disgusting. Clearly, all it is that they took a couple scenes from the movie just randomly and then said, okay, we'll just keep those as how they are. They don't look all that, you know, nice or all that, you know, they don't have much production value, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut those, you know, crappy scenes with CG and lots of titles. It'll work. I'm telling you, it'll work. People love it. It did not work. It was all over the place. However, here is why I'm still going to watch this movie. Despite the trailer being bad, it gave me certain pieces of information that I needed to know in order to know that whether it is good or bad, it is worth a chance, mm-hmm. worth a shot. And that is that this is a movie from Korea. One. Two.
That's racist.
Shush. Because you're about to say something very similar. Right? So one, it's a movie from Korea. And two, it has knives and weapons and people hurting each other. And three, the people are hurting each other in response to hurts that have already been inflicted upon them. Wait, sorry, let me say it a different way. This is a Korean revenge film. Of course I'm going to watch it. So, Damien, please enlighten me as to how less racist you're going to be.
First of all, that would have been racist. You said that you like something from South Korea. South Korea isn't a race. Doesn't make any sense. Hey guys, you know how we like Korean revenge movies? They put out a trailer for a new one. And I saw that trailer and I said, we need to talk about this trailer. No, Bedeviled is a horrendous trailer. It is really bad. They have this shitty CG water drop blood type effect that they put on everything and a boatload of titles. But that means nothing. This girl had bad things done to her, and she took up sharp objects and is now going to inflict bad things upon other people. And that is more. That is way more than it also helps that people who have seen the movie have gone, yeah, this is pretty good. And as we all know, 9 out of 10 times, when you hear good things about movies from that far away, it is usually worth the time. Whatever one escapes and finds its way over to us. So yeah, the trailer is bad. It is really bad. But I don't care. Because Korean revenge films might be a top favorite genre at this point. It's never led us astray. It never has.
Whoa, wait. We did watch.
We've seen bad ones, but it's never led us astray. It never has. We've never come out of one and gone, God damn, I hate this. Like last week with Ang Lee's movie.
That's true.
We've never hated movies after watching one.
We just thought they were not as good as the rest of them. Yeah.
Flagship, ridiculous movies.
So what you're saying, Damien, is if someone ever does the podcast wrong on a whole, we just need to hire some South Koreans and we can deal with this properly, right?
Well, no, not quite. Yes, that's step one. Step one, hire South Koreans. Step two, find something that one of us has done to the other so that the other can actually try and get revenge. That is the most important step. Because just South Korean alone, we found that out. That's not enough. You need South Korean and revenge. You need both aspects, right. Both sides of the coin.
I have to agree with you guys. This trailer looks horrible. It kind of feels almost like a radio advertisement. You know, when you're listening to a radio advertisement from like the 50s, where they're like, "There was a man behind the corner, and he took out their hearts," and it's just going on like, yeah, hello.
Well, no, you know what? No, sorry, keep going. I'm sorry. I was going to be a horrible person.
Yes,
Keep going, Andrew. Yes,
to be fair, I was going can to. You, too.
Can you please tell me what you were going
to
say?
No. As I was going to, you know, I mean, there were quite a few ways I could have gone with it, but Douglas. I guess the first thing I could have done was asked you which radio ads you were listening to in the 50s. That's one Douglas. Way to go about it.
Douglas.
But Andrew, keep going.
Oh my God. I can't wait for next week. Cannot wait.
Sometimes I feel like I'm being illogical, but I can't tell that I'm being illogical. And I don't know where I'm going with this.
Oh, you just couldn't let it go.
And now we've gotten into the depressing side of the podcast.
You just couldn't let it go.
I tried. I tried and I did much better than usual. You have to admit.
That is true. Andrew, I am sure you are making a point. Please, continue.
Right. And one of the few things that I kind of loathe in trailers is when the trailer feels the need to put title captions in order to tell the story, as opposed to showing us what the story is actually going to be. It's even worse when they actually dub the title caption into the trailer, which I can't tell if they did because it would have been in Korean at that point. But on the side note, I have heard of this movie previously, and I've heard very good things, so I'm still looking forward to it. But this trailer, like in general, not good at all. It's not something I'd show to someone to tell them in order to make them want to watch the movie. So the other trailer that I want to talk about is the new film starring Michael Shannon, The Iceman.
Alright kids, that's it. Go on home. We're closed.
So is it my lucky day or my last?
You got a second?
I want to be my partner.
You take care of the details. I do the hit. More shelves.
You doing hits behind my back? Poor poor sons of bitches, thinking their old man is a decent guy. Our paths cross again. I'm gonna bury your whole fucking family.
Dad?
There ain't gonna be nothing else to be afraid of.
And us.
Damien pointed out this trailer to us, so Damien, what do you think of this?
How should I start?
Alright, let me talk about the trailer. At least attempt to talk about the trailer objectively. It is a movie about a hitman. We've seen these movies before. This movie seems okay just based on the trailer, but they kind of give away the twist in the movie. You know, he was doing contract killings for a guy. He started doing the killings behind the guy's back, and now it has led to problems. That part of the trailer is a negative. We don't like when trailers give away everything that's going to happen. With
you know what,
movie.
Though? I'm going to say one thing here.
Sure.
I don't know what this movie, where this movie is going to go. It's based on a true story, mm-hmm. but I don't actually know the story.
Okay.
So I'll just put that out there.
Right.
But based on what the trailer shows, it may be that it is showing that this is going to be a revenge movie, because you see that, you know, once somebody in his family is hurt. So it may not be the case, but if that is, then this is there's nothing wrong with you going that far, because really any revenge movie, what you want is not really how you got there, which is what the trailer showed you. What you want is what you do after you get there. You know, what is the revenge?
Alright, but take No Country for Old Men, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah.
That movie is about another killer, contract killer.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that trailer. What we saw from the trailer was air gun. people talking about this guy as if he were the devil. And then the trailer kind of ended. So it was just the most awesome weapon you've seen. Tommy Lee Jones and people talking about this guy as the devil. And that is it. That is all that trailer told us. And we were all jumping up and down until we saw that movie. They could have done that with this movie. It's about a hitman. We know what hitmen do. What you want to give us is a sense of, you know, how ruthless, how efficient he is, and give us like a glimmer of what drives him. And that would have been enough. Now, I understand why they put out this kind of trailer, because, as you said, it is based on actual events. Now, I know the story. I know how it ends. And clearly, I'm not going to tell you that. But if anybody has Google...
Yeah, it's pretty easy, right?
So, now that I've put that forward, then all of the bias comes in. I know the story. I've wanted to see this story for a long time. HBO did a small documentary on this guy.
I thought it was this guy.
Right.
No, I have seen that.
He is called the Iceman.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving that away, Douglas.
Yes,
Douglas.
Yes, I've seen
Douglas.
This.
Douglas,
for get giving that away.
You dumbass.
I have to cut you. Look, before we started pressing the record button, I exclaimed to David my hatred of him because I didn't want to watch his trailer. I've already scheduled this film to watch next week at TIFF.
Okay, so I do know.
But I watched the trailer anyways.
You are an idiot.
Douglas.
Thanks for ruining real life, Douglas. For spoiling real life again.
I didn't tell you.
Hold on to what you get.
I'm just going to take a stab in the dark. the Avengers came in the night.
Does this guy actually walk? Hi, how you doing this time?
Look, Tony Stark. Douglas.
Fuck you, Douglas.
You're welcome, Andrew.
Andrew, you'll have to edit this out for other people.
I'm going to edit
it. It should be fun. Because then you'll have to hear it again.
I actually want to hear how you edit it out, because
it's going to be a giant beep.
Yeah, for like 5 minutes while he's cussing me.
God damn, the cussing can stay. The cussing can stay. It'll be like, yes. Fuck you, Douglas. Beep. Fuck you, Douglas. Beep.
What are they beeping? Have they come up with new swear words? This is amazing.
But anyway.
So Damien. Right. Know that the cat, of course, is out of the bag.
But that we still won't history. Talk about anymore. Because yes. We don't and want Douglas any more beeps.
History. All the bias is now coming to the fore. I know the story. I've wanted to see the movie adaptation of this story. And of course, our dear, dear friend.
You're really out of? Oh, what?
No, I enjoy really out of in small doses. The League. He was in the third. Yes.
Was
he? Yes, he was. The germaphobe.
The League?
Yes, in The League, the TV
show. The TV show,
yes,
The League?
He was in one episode where he was the head of the law firm.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yes, he was. And it was awesome.
Actually, you know what? To give him his credit, I think he can do comedy, because he was pretty good in the best movie. Well, not the best movie, but it was definitely better than Inception, Youth in Revolt.
Right.
Yeah.
He was, that movie.
I remember liking him in Observer and Report.
Yes.
He was also good in a lot of other movies in the 90s.
One?
What was it? Something from Of No Escape? There was some prison movie where...
Oh, with No Way Out, Amanda Sante?
Something like that. I should get that movie. I love that movie.
I remember wanting to watch that movie when I was really young and seeing like pieces.
Ignoring all of that.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon is in this movie. He's the lead and he looks fantastic. James Franco is in it. And Captain America is
Disco
in it.
Disco Santa Claus.
Disco Santa. Which he'll have cred for life. He gets a free pass for life for Disco Santa. There's other things that I like him into, but Disco Santa. And of course Chris Evans, which also Puncture, and of course all the Captain America movies.
Did you like Puncture?
Puncture is the one about him taking drugs, but he was a liar at the same time. I enjoyed Puncture.
Is he in England in that one? I'm thinking of another one then. I haven't watched Puncture yet.
But the second I saw that this trailer was out and I realized that it was the Michael Shannon movie, I started jumping around like a schoolgirl and sent you guys an email instantly. Definitely watching this. Cannot wait for it to come out. Now, among the three of us, there is an ass who is going to get to watch this movie. Let's say a year before the rest of us. Can anybody guess who that is? You know, we should spoil the movie. We should spoil history.
Exactly, for that.
Just because he's going to get to watch the movie anyway. Yeah? We should just wreck it for him right now. Look, when did the aliens come for him? Don't be surprised.
So what you're saying, Damon, is when I come back, I get to talk about, in detail, Cloud Atlas.
You'll talk about nothing. Or I will kill you. Let me be very clear.
I'll talk about the Master. I'll talk about To God the Wonder, the new Malick film.
Just going to get to watch him. I forgot about that.
Yep.
All right, Andrew, listen to me.
Damien,
I'm going to write you a list.
My TIFF schedule ends with The Master and listen To the Wonder, back to back.
I'm going to write you a list. You can tell me anything you want about Terrence Malick's shitty film. I'm going to write you a list of 5 films that you are unable to talk about.
Just say them right now.
I'm going to have to go back and recheck, because I'm sure there's one I'm forgetting. But I don't want to send you an email. Clearly, The Master and Iceman and Life of Pi is 3.
That's not there.
That's not there?
Life of Pi isn't there.
Sweet
no.
Jesus.
I'll have to wait like everyone else to watch Life.
But there are some others. You know, we'll just not have a TIFF section. You write whatever you want on the website. That's who reads that site anyway. and he leaves
I'm semi. I'm semi planning a post-TIFF podcast with people because I'm going to be up there for an extra day. So I don't know if that'll happen, and it'll go up on the website. You'll just ignore that episode.
So let me get this straight. Every time you leave anywhere, you just whore yourself out to whatever podcast. Is that how it works?
Pretty much.
You're a pod whore? All right, fair enough.
I'm a podcast and a writing whore. That's how it works.
Are you a whorecast?
I think we can get this.
What about podcast groupie? Does that work? Like a poopy?
He's a prosticast or a castitute. Hey guys,
don't be jealous because they ask for me and not you.
Listen, you castitute. You say nothing to me. Alright, dude, since clearly we've said everything we need to say about this trailer.
Well, no, actually, I have a bit more to say because you seem to really like this trailer. I
don't remember saying that.
Alright, what did you... Oh, because
I said that objectively, if we talk about the trailer gave a little bit too much away.
Well, yeah, but I actually watched this trailer and barring the giving away story part, right? I actually thought this trailer was not that great. It gave you the basics. This guy's a hitman, this guy does a bad thing, and then his family pays for it.
Supposedly.
The way that all of that information was put forward wasn't really that entertaining. If there were no other reason to watch this movie than a trailer, I'm not sure if I'd watch this movie. But I agree with you. There are other things to take into account. The fact that Michael Shannon is the lead, which is fantastic.
I just need to get this started.
What?
If it was done to full 80s music, like, say, Drive, would we have liked this trailer more? If I Don't Eat, I Don't Sleep was playing in the background of this trailer, would we have enjoyed this trailer more?
Yes, but for different reasons. Not because we thought it would be a good movie. this trailer isn't that great, but the fact that Michael Shannon is in it gives it at least 100 extra points. Yes. And Ray Liotta, while I cannot say that him being in any movie is a plus at this point, I actually kind of like the parallel is not the word, but the fact that now he's in better go fuck
let's
yourself.
Not have this argument, guys. friends.
So now we're pulling out the friend card. No, we're pulling out the friend card
in like a week's time, so I don't care what he thinks. There's one last trailer that I would like to talk about that you two morons talked about last week, and that trailer is Butter. Now this lunatic, right beside me, Douglas Robinson, enjoy the trailer, correct?
No.
And the reason I pointed this out is because Douglas is sitting within arm's reach of him. I could wring his neck and kill him right now. Douglas, do you remember when he said, seriously, the Butter Police? Wait.
If you go back to last week's podcast and you listen to what I said.
I did.
All right.
I heard you.
What I said is that the trailer itself looks stupid. The trailer itself struck me as if somebody watched Best in Show, which itself is not that great a movie, while it has been overhyped by a lot of people, and said, you know what, I could do that, but with Butter. And that's all it seemed to me. And that I did not like. However, I see the potential. I see how it could be a great sarcastic comedy. It don't have to be sarcastic. A great comedy. And I still am interested. But the trailer didn't do it justice, I don't think.
As long as you live, do not compare anything with Best in Show.
Why?
Because there were no laughs in Best in Show. We've had this conversation.
No, I know. Yeah, yeah.
You laughed at that trailer. Yeah, okay. Okay. And by that, and that alone, it is better than Best in Show. The minute and a half that this Butter trailer took is already a superior film to Best in Show. She gave a presidential nomination speech and then said it's about America and butter. Right? You're laughing now as we speak. Right? The trailer is funny. Olivia Wilde is in this movie, and after I've made several promises to never watch anything she's in again.
Because which one is Olivia Wilde? Remind
Tron.
Me. Oh, okay.
Yes, she. She only comes in bad movies. I said, you know, I'm never watching. And she is another beacon that signifies terrible movies. I wasn't saw this trailer, Cowboys I saw her. She looks funny in this. She looks legitimately. The Scarlet Letter? Yes. She was also in that movie with Master and Commander guy.
And Paul Bettany or Russell Crowe.
When he was saving his wife from prison.
Oh yeah, The Next 3 Days?
Yeah, The Next 3 Days. She was also in that. That movie was
That was a horrible movie. I actually watched
it. Yeah, that was a bad movie.
Man, oh, Jesus.
So yes, where I see her, bad things usually follow. And she's in this, and it did not dent my love and
who
expectation.
Was she? Was she like the neighbor? Or not the neighbor, the
like
wife?
A teacher
the
or something. Yeah, she was just another.
He dropped off his child with.
Right. And in just that little time, I knew that this movie wasn't going to go anywhere. Don't say bad things about Butter. Andrew is correct. I don't like saying that. This movie is going to be awesome. You're incorrect.
Okay.
Douglas, say you're sorry about Butter. Or we're going to have another Avengers fight. Remember when you were wrong then?
I'm going to get that audio, I'm going to clip it, and I'm going to make it the audio that pops up every time I get a text message on my phone.
Okay, Damian. I'm sorry that you feel that way about this trailer.
That's I accept that apology. An apology. No, you're sorry.
Oh, because you know what's gonna happen is you're gonna edit out everything.
Edit out everything you said past that.
Yes, Andrew.
And I'll also see 7 Psychopaths.
That was the other movie.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
You know what? I quit. Bethlehem and Nazareth. After this, you be pressing rewind on top your master. This shining like an asterisk for all those that you gather. Connecting like a rent house from the townhouse to the tenements. Cause all my Brooklyn residents don't have heavy regiments. Don't believe, hear the evidence. We're Brooklyn. See that? Buy the ticket all, can't believe that. From where they send the tree at to where the police react. Tell them quality, equality, but tell them where we be at. Brooklyn, New York City, where they paint murals of Biggie and cash we trust. Cause this ghetto fabulous life look pretty. What a pity, blunts are still 50 cents. It's intense. Je suis Fiona. Je suis une fée. Vous avez droit à 3 souhaits.
Vous voulez une chambre?
And on that note, we can move into our feature review. This week, Douglas decided for us to watch a French film by the name of La Fée, or The Fairy. It's about a man who has a chance encounter.
No, stop. I'm going to stop you here. Because I don't trust either you or Damien to give this movie any justice.
I can give this movie a whole heap of justice.
This movie is a wonderful film. This movie is, as Andrew says, about a man who works at a hotel, or rather, we should probably call it a motel because it's not.
It says hotel on the
sign. It says hotel on the sign, but it really is not. And has a chance encounter with someone who believes she is a fairy and does quite a bit to try and prove herself. This film, I'm going to actually quote Damien here. I don't think he actually meant it the way I'm about to say it, but this film is a wonderful waste of time. That was exactly what Damien said.
Exactly what I
mean. And that's exactly what this is. This movie really, if you want story, well, actually there is a story, but if you want, you know, a film where everything makes sense and where, you know, things like logic prevail, right. Don't watch this
and
movie.
And governs the movie.
You know, don't watch this movie.
Pack your bags and right. leave.
But if you want to enjoy yourself, if you want to just sit down, not have to think, not have to worry about, you know, did I understand this piece of the story? And if you want to sit down and be thoroughly entertained, childishly so in many instances, then this is your movie. Right? So
In all instances,
yes.
Is there an adult moment in that?
I don't think so. I don't think so. This movie is great. It takes you through. So this guy meets the fairy and she gives him 3 wishes. And he takes 2 of them right off the bat. And she delivers. And the rest of the movie is kind of the 2 of them getting close. And her always saying to him, boy, have you thought about your 3rd wish? You know, it's time for you to get the 3rd wish. And he's like, no, I haven't thought about it yet. And every time he says that, she says, okay, take your time.
Douglas, I defy anyone. If you tell everybody what happens in this movie and someone watches this movie and even a second of it is spoiled for them, I'll give them $1,000,000.
I know.
I can tell you every single thing that happens, and you still will not be prepared for what is about to take place.
I mean, the visuals, like, this movie was clearly not, I don't want to say it was a cheap movie. It definitely wasn't cheap. I think it took a lot for them to make it look the way it did, right? I think everything was intentional.
I don't disagree, but it did not cost them any money.
No. This was clearly not a blockbuster, but it was not cheap. I don't think so. This movie was great. There were so many pull-away moments that you can take and say, this is fantastic. One of those moments I love was when... don't ask me where logic comes into this, but where the man and the fairy end up underwater in the sea and dance the night away, essentially.
The all wearing are majestic.
Yes, they are. All wearing seaweed like loincloths and brassieres. Yeah, seaweed bikini. It's fantastic. And that scene reminded me, I know both of you guys watch Hugo, right? Do you remember that Hugo was about the boy found like an old filmmaker,
right.
and the type of films that he made when you kind of went back in time and saw what he was making, that was almost exactly what that scene was. I mean, you can't argue with that. I mean, it was beautifully cheap, you know.
I'll accept that.
I mean, that was just great. And this movie is so whimsical. It's so childlike. I mean, in the end of the movie, there's a car chase scene, or rather, a car and
bike.
A scooter. A car and scooter chase scene, and immediately and a bicycle. Yes, and when you watch that scene, it's so. And a lot of this movie is like this. It's so cartoonish. It is. I mean, I watched this scene and I thought that lady is just like olive oil in Popeye. You know, I thought, you know, like this reminded me. The whole of the movie reminded me of the cartoons that I used to watch on Disney that were clearly made in like the 40s through to the 60s. That were so like, you know, they had a vintage to them, but they were, you know, made for children and made to be just like that, whimsical, enjoyable, funny, and just outlandish. And that's exactly what this movie was. All 4 of those things combined. And I mean, I dare you, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a bad response from Andrew, but I dare you to hate this movie. This movie is, it's superb in how it kind of hits all of those aspects. It's just marvelous. Don't ask it to tell you a proper story, but
or a story
in general, but you will enjoy it every step of the way.
Andrew Robinson, that scowl on your face means you want to tell us something. Let's have it.
Douglas, there was a movie you made us watch. It must have been as much as a couple years ago. I can't remember the name right now.
Micmacs.
Not Micmacs. It was basically a series of shorts.
Oh yes,
Sweden,
I thought about
I think
that too. You the Living.
Right.
I thought about that movie as well.
This movie reminded me very much of that movie. However, it took away with a lot of the, and I'm about to use a fake word, ununderstandableness, from that movie. I agree with you pretty much 100%, Douglas. Because while I didn't quite enjoy this movie as a through and through film, in that it told a story and it made sense, there were so many of these small moments where when you take them as pretty much YouTube clips, small moments, they end up just putting a smile on your face. And the few that I will highlight, you didn't happen to mention, there are a couple which didn't hit me like how they did you, like the seaweed bikini scene. That scene didn't really do it for me. But one of the scenes which quite did it for me was on the rooftop when she's...
Yes, I love that.
When the music just starts playing. And the thing about this movie is there are so few musical backgrounded scenes or musical cues throughout the movie. There's one moment where he's watching TV and you hear... I can't remember what the song is right now, but for some reason my mind is saying it's you. It had to be you. I could be completely wrong. Damien, do you remember what song it was?
No.
Oh. And that song comes back like two or three times in the movie. But
yeah,
there is one different song. It's kind of like a piano-ish, a piano solo jazz song.
There's a couple of them, but yeah, there's the jazz song on the roof, and there's Yukali, which is in the bar in Love is Blurred. I love the name of that and how it kind of relates to the guy that serves them there.
The
and that scene kind of works so well. It hits all of those notes. I will say one thing which kind of will be painted badly, but I mean it in the best of ways. The way this movie treats pregnancy has only been done as it reminds me of how well it was done in the last season of True Blood, with the fairies, and if you've been watching True Blood, you know what I'm talking about. The movie, it makes absolutely no sense. It'll be a movie I'll never watch again because, honestly,
I've watched his movies twice already.
it confounds me while making me smile. But at the same time, once I try to think back to the movie, and my mind immediately goes back to the moments which I most enjoyed, it does make me smile, which I guess I have to give the film credit for. It is a film which definitely dares the viewer to not enjoy themselves. What else can you say about this movie where they pack three men into a trunk to drive them across to England? And there's a dog that they call you. It's kind of insane. And
no, the name of the dog is Mimi.
Yes, the dog is Mimi.
But the subtitle that came up said you.
Oh, I don't know. It said Mimi on Netflix.
And the poster also said Mimi.
Yeah.
I remember the poster said Mimi, but the subtitle that I had, it said you. It's a special film. I grant you that, but I'm pretty sure that by the end of this year, I'm going to forget it existed.
Damien, do you have a response to that?
All right. So I'm into ignoring all that Andrew just said.
this movie can be summed up in two words. Unmitigated tomfoolery. The movie stands in defiance of logic and common sense. But it does not do that to its detriment. It does it so that if... when you start watching the movie, you immediately start picking up on certain things that are flares to signal what is about to happen. At the start of the movie, you see where he turns off the TV and turns it back on, and it is always at the same
at
point.
The same point, yeah.
You see where the fairy changes her shoes about 7 times in one sequence, but at no point do you see where this change happens. She goes from being barefoot, and then she puts on some sneakers, then she has on the stilettos, then she's barefoot and then has sneakers on again, and then it's barefoot and then it just has on completely different shoes. And so if you pay attention to small details, this movie will drive you crazy. But it is impossible to do so because you'll be too busy laughing at all the madness that takes place. This movie is as if they captured joy on camera and then they dusted off all the cruft off of it. They went, all these things that make people think too hard about being happy, we don't need any of that. Any of these things. Just throw all of that away. And what you're left is a sparkling jewel that sits in defiance. This movie came out last year, which is impossible. There's just no way someone sat down, got a budget, got actors, and went, that is what I want. This is what I'm going to make. And the actors looked at each other and went, you know what? I'm on board with this. I won't talk about the general movie because these two have talked about it. I'll just leave you guys with a couple of key things that will make me definitely watch this movie again. Plastic bags.
Yes.
The bottom of the sea. Terrific. A man who is a siren. Also spectacular. a rusty car on a beach. truly magical is what I'll say. And some of the best dance numbers that you'll see in anything. Now, I want to emphasize to everybody, this movie is not a movie like the FP, where the FP doesn't make sense, but it knows it doesn't make sense, and it is trying to not make any sense, but it is a different kind. This movie is a different kind of movie. It is like the FP in one way, but this movie is aggressive about not making it. You cannot there's nothing to follow in this movie. Everything that happens simply happens. And it is fun to watch the entire way through. And I would tell anybody to watch this. Now, there are people who are going to watch this movie and not only hate the movie, but hate us for recommending the movie. For you people, I'm truly sad that you don't have joy in your heart. For everybody else, you're welcome. Thank you, Douglas. This movie is great.
Yes.
So, I'm just sad that it came out last year because now it can't go on the list.
I know it can't go on the top 10. Yeah, yeah.
So Damien, while you did bring it up, I'm going to put the gun to your head.
The FP cannot be dethroned by this movie. The FP is transformative. Listen to me. The FP is... while this movie is the embodiment of joy and happiness, that is fine. The FP is the embodiment of Amzos, which is better. Right? Almshouse versus happiness, I'll take Almshouse all the time. Almshouse wins. It always wins. It is what Jamaica is built on. That and lies, but mostly Almshouse.
Oh, okay.
But this movie is really... It is... Today, I sat down to watch a movie with Douglas. And when the movie started, I kept asking Douglas simple questions. All the questions started off with, why is this happening? For about 10 minutes. And then it dawned on me that there is no why. There is just a where, a when, and a how. Why has nothing to do with this movie? And it is remarkable. In fact, I said to Douglas, this movie didn't even need a voice.
Yeah.
If this movie were a silent movie, nothing would have changed. It would have been spectacular, and we'd have still enjoyed it. Probably even more. Just to watch some of the... can you imagine just text... Just raw text on the screen trying to explain
what is happening. What just happened a while ago?
Sure, guys. Sure. Fine.
No, man. But you know what else I want to say too? Which is, not only would I recommend this movie, I am so enthralled with this movie that I would recommend the other two or three movies that these two people have made together, right? I have never seen them before, but I have watched trailers and they look equally as amazing.
I was just taking a gander at IMDb and I noticed those films and they're actually under the same... Both of them directed all of the films and they're under the same character names of Dom and Fiona.
Yeah, because that's their actual names. Dom is Dominica Bell and Fiona, I think, is Fiona Gordon. They always have the same character names, but it's different stories. Like, there's one about them, the two of them being like professional dancers, but then there's this huge accident and Fiona loses her leg and Dom becomes kind of like Guy Pearce in Memento,
right.
But yet they still somehow dance again or something like that. And that to me sounds like absolutely sounds ridiculous. Ridiculous. And then there's another one called The Iceberg, which I'm not quite sure what it's about. I've seen the trailer. I know that there actually is an iceberg in the movie, and they are on a boat that hits an iceberg. I don't think it's a Titanic.
That would be awesome.
And she ends up speaking, teaching English to students. And she has a very good English accent. I don't know where the hell she's from. These movies just look, as you said, the embodiment of joy and just great.
One more thing I'd like to point out. There's a man who comes to stay at the hotel with a... bag with dog-like features who develops the most amazing French over two-day period.
Yes!
Imagine. He goes from knowing no French to being so fluent. What's that you say? You want an explanation? Good luck with that.
This movie is it's just so great. As you talk more about it, it just adds more and more of a smile to your face.
I don't know what Andrew's talking about not watching this movie again. I'll be watching this movie
again. Oh, yes.
In fact, I'll be conning other people to come watch this movie. It's just a French... Don't worry yourself. There won't be a lot of reading. Sit down. 10 minutes. Just give me 10 minutes with this movie. And then watch as people shake their head, baffled, and then just finally give in to the nonsense. It's pretty good. It's
mm-hmm.
I think this makes up for the last movie that you chose.
Which one was the last one?
The one that you're blaming on your Italy? Mother.
Oh, yeah. Mid-August dinner or whatever. But did not.
Scary old people.
But I must say, I think that so far... that finally I've taken us out of our slump. I hit one for the fences and I actually got there.
Well, you didn't hit anything for the fences. You looked out. This No one called it. You just went...
I still want to know what made this movie attractive to you. Did you watch it first and then you said we're all watching it?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, it is a bit of Buck Ops. So myself and the intern decided one night that we wanted to watch a movie. So we go out to the living room and we turn on Netflix, and seeing as Michelle was the one controlling the remote, seeing as the intern was the one controlling the remote, she went straight. She didn't go to thrillers, she didn't go to TV shows, she didn't go to regular movies, she went straight bap 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 down to foreign comedies. And I think maybe there was something about the poster that caught her eye. The fairy. I think it was the scene where they were dancing and he was holding her by the leg. Right. And she was just like, I'll watch this movie. And I was like, oh boy. Okay, let's see.
So what you're saying is that you didn't pick this movie. The intern took us out of the slump. It took another person to get us out of the slump.
Anyway, whatever. Whatever. We got out of the slump, and I knew immediately that this was a movie for us. By the time the bikini scene set in, I was sending an email to everybody. So,
plastic
you know.
Bags.
Yeah, plastic bags.
Sweet Jesus. That is awesome.
Okay, so it's on Netflix Instant.
We're finally
free.
As is the iceberg. The iceberg is also there. So you guys should watch that as well.
Yeah. Andrew won't be here next week. I'm making a public service announcement. Andrew is going off to be a castitute or whatever it is you call him. He's going to TIFF, whatever that is. And so he won't be with us for 2 weeks?
Two weeks.
So me and Douglas will have to hold on the fort. Damien will be taking over. Editing and production for the podcast.
Dear
so
God,
Douglas,
help us.
I'm telling you now. For the next 2 weeks, we're reviewing Von Trier movies.
Oh, yes.
We're going to look at all the Von Trier movies we haven't seen and eliminate those movies. Your computer's up and running. I don't want to hear anything about anything that is not a Von Trier movie. That is all we'll be talking about. Alright? I will be edited to dancehall and dubstep.
Dubstep. Can I tell you? Dubstep is awesome. I know you meant that as a joke, right. But dubstep is fantastic.
Yes. David, at this point, I can't wait, right? I can't wait to get that in my email saying, Andrew, put this on the site, because I'll put it straight into my phone and I'll be walking around Toronto going crazy.
Yep.
Damien brought it up. I just wanted to say I'll be at TIFF. I will be doing coverage for filmschoolrejects.com. So go and read what I have to say about the films over there.
You hear who's doing coverage for?
That little
for the
other competition. Really?
G-Man Reviews, no.
He's doing, and it's such a small site too. I mean, G-Man Reviews has such a, it's an institution almost.
I mean, is there anyone that doesn't go to our site? There's what, 7 billion views every month?
Every month? I thought that was a daily count.
I mean,
I have to unblock our site.
I will say, Damien, that Sofia Coppola did stop coming to our site because of the nickname you gave her.
Soko can... Alright, let me... This is still a family-friendly podcast.
That's going to be happening. And also, I should say, this episode is going to be going up on Wednesday. So when you're hearing this, I would have already had an episode up over at the matinee, the dark of the matinee. I got to go and talk to Ryan McNeil over at the matinee cast, so go and listen to that. That's really cool. We talked about Premium Rush. It's not a very good movie, but we still had a fun time talking.
Boo.
Is that all you have to say, Damon? Is that all you have to add to the discussion?
Look, you won't be here for the next 2 weeks, and we are going to crucify you on this podcast. Oh, see Jesus.
And the guys, worst part of it is I haven't watched any other Bond films other than Melancholia and Antichrist.
You know what's going to be funny too? Is this podcast, you know what's going to happen? It's going to turn into not just a movie podcast. All of a sudden, there's going to be like an hour-long tech segment.
Right.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, guys. The thing I tried to keep away from the podcast, it's going to come back. But yeah, that's the.
Did you break my cover for my yes, I did. my CPU? Mm-hmm. How dare you?
You're going to use this again.
Sorry, Andrew. Keep going.
You're starting the tech podcast early.
So that's the Unnamed Movie Podcast. Go and watch The Fairy. You can find the podcast over at gmanreviews.com, iTunes, the Podcast Alley, and lots of other syndicated networks. I write all my stuff over at gmanreviews.com. During TIFF, you can find my writings at filmschoolrejects.com as well. I'm on Twitter at gmanreviews. Douglas is DJR, lost his name. Damien is Damien_White, even though he isn't tweeting. I believe he's given it up and he's just not telling us, but who cares anyways? Thanks so much for listening.
When did
good
I
night.
Start?
Give me the fortune, keep the fame, said my man Lewis. I agreed, know what he mean, because we live the truest lie. I asked him why we follow the law of the bluest eye. He looked at me, he thought about it, was like I'm clueless. Why? The question was rhetorical, the answer is horrible. Our morals are out of place, I got a lot full of sorrow. And so tomorrow coming later than usual, waiting on someone to pity us. While we find the beauty in the hideous, they say money's the root of all evil, but I can't tell, you know what I mean? Pesos, franc shens, carry shells, dollar bills. Or is it the mind state that's ill, creating crime rates to fill the new prisons they build? Over money and religion, there's more blood that spills. The wounds of slaves and cotton fields that never heal. What's the deal? A lot of cats who buy records are straight broke, but my language universal, they be reciting my quotes while R&B singers hit bad notes. We rock the boat of thought that my man Lewis statements just provoke. Caught up in conversations of my personal worth, brought up through endangered species status on the planet Earth. Survival tactics means busting gaps to prove you hard. Your firearms are too short to box with God. Without faith, all of that is illusion. Raise my son, no vindication of manhood necessary.
Not strong,
only aggressive.
Not free,
we only licensed.
Not compassionate, only polite.
Now who the nicest?
Not good, but we'll behave.